USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump continuing a theme concerning health care when he addressed the Republican Congressional Committee dinner on Tuesday night.
Essentially, what I'm saying is we're going to come up with a health care plan. We're not going to vote on it until after the election. We'll all promise it's going to be our first vote because we blew it the last time, man.
Trump saying the Republicans lead when it comes to immigration and homeland security, but they've got to be the party of health care.
They have health care right now. We have to take that away from it.
A U.S. House committee voting along party lines this morning to authorize a subpoena demanding that Attorney General William Barr turn over Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full Russia report and all of the evidence supporting it. That potentially touches off a legal clash that could reach the U.S. Supreme Court. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey guys, Charlie Jones here. You've heard me talk about MyPillow's amazing pillows. All you have to do is sleep on one of them, and you'll know why they call the creator of MyPillow, Mike Lindell, a sleep genius. Everything he creates revolves around making sure that you get the best sleep of your life. That's why he created the new Giza Dreams bedsheets. He began by using the world's best cotton, called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Ultra soft, breathable, extremely durable, the Giza Dream sheet set includes two full 21-inch wide pillowcases that'll fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that'll fit over any mattress. And the first night you sleep on these sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Put them on your bed, and when you crawl in after a long day, it feels like you're sleeping at a five-star hotel. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the Giza Dream Sheet Special, use the promo code USA. You'll get 30% off and free shipping. That's right, promo code USA for 30% off and free shipping. That's promo code USA at MyPillow.com.
Payroll processor ADP out with its March jobs report this morning showing the economy added just 129,000 private sector jobs last month, the lowest in 18 months, and well below the 170,000 that analysts had predicted. Economist Mark Zandi of Moody's Analytics says it's more proof that the hiring boom is running out of steam. The government jobs report is due out on Friday. More now on President Trump's remarks last night to the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee. The president spoke about the expected candidate on the Democratic side, Joe Biden's recent run-in with several women who are making claims that he acted inappropriately towards them. The president says,
I was going to call him, I don't know him well. I was going to say, welcome to the world, Joe. You having a good time, Joe?
The New York Times says two more women have come forth with such accusations, bringing the total to four. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Many are still buzzing about a federal report that hasn't even been fully released yet.
Former FBI Director James Comey says Attorney General William Barr deserves the benefit of the doubt when it comes to releasing the findings of the Russia investigation. Comey says the probe into Russian meddling in the election and any Trump campaign ties to the Kremlin had to be conducted.
You should have fired all of us if we didn't investigate what we learned in the summer of 2016 when we got smoke, not fire, but smoke that Americans might have assisted the Russian effort. We had to investigate that, and no serious person could think otherwise. And it was done in a serious way, and it reached a serious result that now we all ought to get transparency on.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
No one was supposed to be hurt by 16 explosive devices sent to critics of President Trump, so says the Florida man who sent them. As he enters a guilty plea, Cesar Sayoc sending a letter to the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. No one was injured by his devices. He said he considered them only decoy devices, and he said he's very sorry. And a new world speed record's been set by a customized car out of Fulshear, Texas. The 2006 Ford GT was modified by some professionals and went from 0 to 300 miles an hour in a one-mile stretch. Oh, oh boy. Hey, find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
traffic stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump continuing a theme concerning health care when he addressed the Republican Congressional Committee dinner on Tuesday night.
Essentially, what I'm saying is we're going to come up with a health care plan. We're not going to vote on it until after the election. We'll all promise it's going to be our first vote because we blew it the last time, man.
Trump's saying the Republicans lead when it comes to immigration and homeland security, but they've got to be the party of health care.
They have health care right now. We have to take that away from it.
A U.S. House committee voting along party lines this morning to authorize a subpoena demanding that Attorney General William Barr turn over Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full Russia report and all of the evidence supporting it. That potentially touches off a legal clash that could reach the U.S. Supreme Court. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
The weather for 100 in County. This is not working. It is currently 59 degrees. The humidity is 32. And I don't know where the mouse is. So that is the weather for 100 in County. 59 degrees. I can't tell you what the future weather is going to look like, but it is sunny outside and a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's show. I have my master's in counseling. I am nationally certified as a counselor, and I am a licensed professional counselor. I bring you Counselor's Chat every week to provide some education to the public about mental health issues and mental health concerns, and also to help remove the stigma for if you're looking to get into counseling, that it's a good thing to do. So I am here today with Amber
Polczyzyski.
I will get it. She is my intern, and she's going to Centenary, getting her master's also in counseling, and so she's kind of following me around, and she's helping me for these next few weeks on my show, and it's really just to get her some information about being in private practice. Is that right?
I've been working in the field as well as in the educational part of it as well for over 3 years, but I've always worked in a hospital clinical setting, so I never got a chance to see the private practice part, which is what I want to do overall is my goal. So far,
what are you finding out about private practice?
I mean, it's very interesting to watch the one-on-one therapy sessions because, yes, we have them in the clinical settings, but I'm a mental health technician, so we don't really get to see the actual counseling sessions. And it's just so interesting to see how, like, one counseling session, you'll be very quiet, let the patient do all the talking, and then other sessions, it'll be very verbal. You're doing a lot of talking, and I love the use of the whiteboard. I think that's so important because not only to just hear the word, seeing it, I think it makes it, like, really stick in somebody's head better. So I just really like the tactics and techniques and really seeing the therapy side of it, which I really haven't seen. So.
Yeah, I know in graduate school, I mean, we learned a lot about theory. I remember we practiced on each other, but it's still not quite the same as watching a whole session and observing. Well, I'm really glad that you're with me.
Absolutely. I've been having a great time.
And I'm enjoying it also.
Yes.
So the topic for today is alcoholism. April actually is Alcohol Awareness Month. And I would say from my own personal background, the first half of my career, I worked in the drug and alcohol field. Specifically, I worked at a place called the Good News Home for Women here in Flemington. And then I worked at Crawford House, which is a halfway house for women. I was their program director, eventually their executive director. And I do have a certificate of specializing in drug and alcohol recovery from my graduate work. So though I never moved ahead to be a licensed drug and alcohol counselor, it's really the same license in the state of New Jersey. It just means that I have to keep up on more things and pay more money to the government. So I kind of opted out to do that, though I really do work at keeping up on what's going on in the field of addiction, especially in this climate of fentanyl and heroin. Interestingly enough, just having looked at statistics, about 78,000 deaths last year to heroin and fentanyl.
Wow.
Still about 90,000 due to alcohol. So alcohol still, and we don't talk about it, alcohol still outranks heroin. But, you know, when we say it's an epidemic, alcoholism is an epidemic.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, we have a month dedicated to addiction. We have a month dedicated to alcoholism and alcoholism prevention. Did you take any courses in that?
For my graduate program, no, but I will be. But for my undergraduate, I did take substance abuse counseling.
Okay.
And it was such a very interesting class. Like, I found it so fascinating. And just understanding how, like your brain gets altered from substances, and it like you said, it really is a disease. And I was really never believed it was a disease until I took that class.
Yeah.
And it really takes over your life. Like you could not want to drink because you feel bad about drinking, or like, but then you have to drink because you get sick, and then you feel so bad about yourself after you drink. It's just a vicious cycle.
It is a vicious cycle.
It's really, and it's so sad how it impacts every single aspect of your life.
It does. And I don't know if they taught you this or not, but statistically, again, more statistics, one alcoholic affects 10 people.
Yes.
So that's, you know, if I say, well, you know, I know I'm drinking too much, but I'm only hurting myself.
Mm-mm.
Actually, no. I'm hurting up to 10 other people. One of the things that I believe and I practice is family systems theory. And basically what that means is we're all connected like a system. So each person bounces off the other one. You know, like you can't run a car without the pistons. Like that's part of the system. So, I mean, if you could see all of this stuff here, I mean, this is a system. You can't just have this one board without having everything else to run the whole radio show. So it's a system.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have one person who is an alcoholic, it does affect the whole family system.
Right.
And not just that, but also coworkers and other things like that. So I do think it's really important. I know sometimes people think like, oh, more information about alcoholism.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to say I remember growing up when I was a kid and there were parties at my house growing up. Everybody smoked. And the smoke was so thick at a party that it was like looking through fog.
Wow.
Now, what we have done as a country is we have worked really hard to say cigarette smoking is not good for your health.
Mm-hmm.
Has that prevented everyone from smoking?
Nope.
No, it has not. But you know what? It's not the way it used to be. We have designated smoking areas outside. We have non-smoking workplaces. AA, you can no longer smoke in AA meetings.
I remember as a kid going with my mom and my sister to Applebee's, and they'd always ask, do you want to sit in the smoking section or the non-smoking section?
Right.
That doesn't exist
that
anymore.
That doesn't exist anymore. So that tells me with proper education, we really can prevent alcoholism and other substance use. So I just want to kind of go over some signs of alcohol dependency because I think that's important.
Absolutely.
The top thing is denial.
Yes.
And, well, I'm going to even say this before I do that. Alcoholism is a disease of the brain. It affects the way we think, affects our judgment, it affects our mood. It's a mood-altering substance. So the first thing really is denial.
Yes.
So doesn't happen to me. It's not that bad. I can control it. Right?
That's what everybody says at
first. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I have several alcoholics that I work with currently. And one of the things that I say is, I don't know anybody who's, you know, like 5 years old and says, I can't wait to grow up and be an alcoholic.
Right.
Right? I can't, you know, it's like, I can't wait to grow up and be, I don't know, a fireman or a, you know, whatever, an actor, or, you know. So there's so many other things that people say, but to be an addict, nobody wants to grow up and be an addict.
No.
Like, it's just not.
It's the hardest, worst life to have.
Yeah. It's just not what anybody wants to do as a kid.
Right.
So denial is part of that because it's not going to happen to me.
Right.
The other thing, too, is that there is a growing of tolerance.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So pretty much when you with any substance, if it's alcohol, any sort of drugs, even cigarettes, you have like a certain – you take like – let's say you take a drink and that one drink really gets you buzzed like and you don't need any more. if you keep having one drink over a time, it's not going to have the same effect. So your body builds up a tolerance to and the substance that you're using, so you need to drink more to get the same effect as you once did, and then it just progresses even higher and higher and higher until sometimes people are drinking a handle a day and they're just barely even drunk off that. So,
yep. And sometimes actually when it gets so bad, when you're actually beginning to get to the end of the disease, you don't even need so much to get drunk. And that's because your liver's deteriorating, your brain isn't functioning as well. Mm. So you're when you're getting towards the end of the disease, it begins to drop. You know, you mentioned just a little bit earlier, you know, at first you were not really clear that it was a disease.
Right.
It follows the American Medical Association's definition of a disease.
Right.
Which is, it's chronic, meaning once you have it, you have it.
Yes.
It's progressive. It gets worse over time. So the tolerance is a really good indication that it, the disease is beginning to get worse.
Right.
You know, used to get, like you said, a buzz off of one drink. Now I get a buzz off of four drinks.
Right.
You know, so it begins to have that aspect. It is treatable.
Yes.
And many diseases that we have, like diabetes, it's treatable. But if it goes untreated,
it's going to have a, it's, you're going to lead to death one day.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a point where you can't even come back to return. And also getting help, you have to, like, you can't do it alone without being an alcoholic. I mean, some things they say you can do on your own, but you shouldn't. But alcohol, number one, you could die from the withdrawals. So.
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely imperative to get into a medical detox. Yes. Absolutely. It's a good thing you brought that up, because a lot of times people think, I'll just quit drinking.
Yeah.
You can have hallucinations and seizures, yes, and it's not a good thing.
Right.
Back in the old days when they really didn't have medical detox, people in AA would go and do house calls, and they would actually bring alcohol, and they would slowly wean people off.
Really?
And there would be two recovering alcohol, because you don't go by yourself. There would be two recovering alcoholics slowly helping somebody get off alcohol, because they knew if you just stopped, you know, you just may die from that. So other things that people may experience, this is, again, these are more symptoms So you can have a blackout. So a blackout means I've had so much to drink, I'll lose my memory.
Mm-hmm.
And these are some indications. You can have DTs, or delirium tremens. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen because you had too much to drink. That happens because you're beginning to detox.
Right.
And that means you're having hallucinations and you're shaking. Having DUIs.
Yeah.
Being fired from your job.
Yep.
It is an emotional and a behavioral and a physical disease. I think it's the most complicated one out there.
Absolutely.
A lot of counselors don't want to touch it because it's so complicated.
Yeah.
Because it does affect so many people. So one of the things that, and so I don't, I mean, I'm probably giving you some education too, but that's fine. but one of the things that people don't realize about alcohol, when we call it a depressant.
Yeah.
So the thing that makes it a depressant is it doesn't make us sad.
Okay. I was going to ask you that question because I never knew what that meant.
Right. So oftentimes it thinks, you know, I'm crying in my beer thing. And that seems like I'm awfully depressed. But, you know, people can be really goofy and silly when they get drunk. So as a depressant, what it means is I'm actually, like, and I say, share this with a lot of my clients when they're coming in and I'm giving them information, it is like that electrical panel you have in your house. And you've got the on and off switches. I mean, I've got on and off switches here. We have on and off switches. So in our brain, the first thing that alcohol may do is it may turn off the switch of being a little socially conscious. So I need a couple of drinks to get on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Okay? Because what that does is it turns that switch off.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next switch it turns off is my ability for spatial judgment and my motor. So in other words, two drinks, I'm in the car, not judging space quite so much. I'm a little slower on that brake.
Mm-hmm.
I may misjudge and hit my gas pedal instead of my brake. So it's turning systems off. So we can drink enough where we turn our memory off. We're depressing the memory. We're turning it off. Then I have a blackout. Mm-hmm. But we can drink so much that we can actually turn our brain off.
And that's so scary. Because that's when you, like many sexual assault cases come of that. You don't remember what happened. And they know you're not going to remember. So it's very common to get taken advantage of when you're in that blackout stage.
Absolutely. And you can drink yourself to death.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times people say, oh, I drank so much, I ended up throwing up, I got sick to my stomach. That's actually an indication of alcohol poisoning.
Really?
So if you're drinking to the point where you've got your head in the toilet, you actually reached the point of alcohol poisoning.
Wow.
So, and then what people do, they throw up and they go drink more.
I know. So scary.
Right. So it is scary. It's really important to gain knowledge and know what alcoholism is about. So I'm going to take another, my first commercial break. We need to let our sponsors have their voice. And I am Ruth Altamura Roll with Amber
Polchuszewski. Polchuszewski.
That's okay. I sometimes get my name tongue-tied. It's a tough one. And we'll be right back with Counselor's Chat.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Mm-hmm. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program, and I have Amber
Poltrzynski.
Did I say that right? Poltrzynski.
I'm messing it up now. Poltrzynski. Yes.
Okay, I had an N in there we didn't need. Okay, I'm going to keep practicing. So Amber is my intern, and she's with me this semester while she is getting her master's in counseling at Centenary. Mm-hmm. What course are you taking that requires you to do this?
This is for theory and practice. There was two parts of the class. I took theory and practice one last semester, and now I'm taking theory and practice two. And for both classes, there was a requirement to obtain 50 practicum hours, which is essentially pretty much the same thing as interning. And just to have somebody at a master's level or higher supervise you and pretty much just get experience in the field, trying to like start us off to see how the counseling world works. Because for a lot of people, they haven't worked in the field yet. I've just been lucky enough to have worked in the field. And, and then usually we do, like, a big paper, like a theoretical rationale, using theories that we've learned that semester and then incorporate it into what we did in our practicum. So,
yeah. I know. Counselors, you know, again, one of the reasons I do Counselors Chat is because licensed professional counselors are still not well known.
Yes.
When you say to somebody, I'm a counselor, they say, well, what is that? Or if I say I'm a therapist, they go, oh, physical therapist? And no, I'm a licensed professional counselor. We've only been around about 50 years,
that's
maybe. We haven't been around that long. We're not all that great in advocating for ourselves. So that is part of why when this opportunity for me doing a radio on the Chamber came up, I really wanted to do that because I wanted to be able to get the word out there about who a licensed professional counselor is.
Mm.
And we have to be proficient in 9 areas of counseling, including theory and ethics, family counseling, addiction counseling, career counseling, testing and assessment, and statistics. Did I get all those 9?
Yeah.
So,
were rough.
Yeah, exactly. It's a completely different kind of program than people who are getting their master's in social work.
Right.
Very different.
Which I never knew until you told me the first day I met you, and it blew my mind.
Yeah, so even though counselors do work in, clinical settings such as your Carrier, but you also have a lot of social workers that work there. Some of them are clinical social workers.
Right.
But a lot of the social workers are there trying to get people into other programs, setting them up for, housing, getting them, maybe if they need some food stamps or assistance or Social Security assistance, working with the insurance companies. That is a little bit more what social work is geared for.
Right.
But if you're a clinical social worker, then you do have that clinical background, which is more of what we do.
Right. Yeah, I think we only have like 1, maybe 2 LPCs at Carrier, and that's it's a big facility. It's a huge clinic.
Yeah.
Only 2 at most.
So, and I encourage people, if you're looking for counseling, look for a licensed professional counselor. But, of course, I'm being a little biased, advocating for my field of mental health. So we're talking today about alcoholism because April is Alcoholism Awareness Month. So some other warning signs about being an alcoholic. So drinking alone in secrecy. So, which is interesting, if you've ever been to an AA meeting, they will say you're as sick as the secrets you keep, because being secretive is definitely part of the disease. So I had an uncle, when he died, he actually had 37 years of sobriety.
Wow.
He was my godfather and very important person in my life.
Wow.
However, he had a little game that he played. His thing was beer. Now, a lot of times people think, oh, you can't be an alcoholic on beer. Well,
when you
drink a case of beer a day, yeah, you can. And do you know how that breaks down? Beer is equal to?
We went over it in substance abuse, but I can't remember. I think it was like two beers is equal. I don't.
That's quite all right. One beer equals one glass of wine equals one shot of vodka.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so alcohol content. But, you know, it's just because it's more fluid in each one. It makes it less, but it's still. So if my uncle is drinking a case of beer, I don't know what that is, 12?
A case, 24.
24 beers a day?
Yeah.
It's 24 shots of vodka.
Yeah.
Okay. And his little secrecy scheme was he had an open beer in every room.
Oh, wow.
And he would hide it behind, like, the books or hide it behind the workbench. As far as my aunt knew, he only had one beer.
Wow.
She had a feeling he was carrying beer, but he had a beer open in every room of the house. I mean, that was one of his stories. So, yeah, being secretive. You know, I've had clients who said, yeah, you know, we were going out and I made sure that I had, you know, alcohol in the car, in the trunk. And I would say, oh, I forgot something. And I'd go back to my car, you know.
Take a swig.
Right. Exactly. Losing interest in other activities.
Yeah.
So, you know, other activities begin to drop away because all I want to do is drink.
Right.
Having alcohol cravings. And you kind of mentioned that. You know, when people start detoxing a little bit,
right.
They feel like they need more just to feel normal.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't even, it comes to a point where they don't even care about being drunk anymore. They just want to feel normal. And that's for other drugs too.
They're sure.
I'm just still using so I feel normal. I don't want to get sick. I want to be able to get through the day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's a conversation that I actually had with a client yesterday. Who started smoking marijuana, and you know, and I know there's a huge issue around marijuana, but started to smoke marijuana when she was 14, says, you know, when I smoke pot, I feel normal. But the reality is that she's been, drinking and using pot for so long that you get used to it. I actually, one of the things I did, I have a pair of red, these awful red sunglasses in my office. And I had her put them on. And I said, if you've been wearing these sunglasses for 20 years, I said, wouldn't you think this is how the world looks? And she said, yeah. And I said, so this becomes your normal.
That's
everything.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Everything now looks always red.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So taking them off, now that doesn't, things don't look right.
That's actually funny you say that because my boyfriend actually, he is like almost completely blind without his contacts. And for years and years, he never got contacts or glasses or anything. And then it was one day his mom saw him in front of the TV like squinting and staring at the TV. And she took him to the eye doctor. They said he was almost blind. And then he got contacts and glasses. He's like, oh my God, I never realized this is what the world really looks like.
Right.
I thought it was how it was before. Right. I thought that was normal.
Yeah. It's like if you've ever seen like on Facebook, people like they make glasses now for people who are colorblind. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
It is the coolest thing. Like people get these glasses and all they're saying, oh my God, is this what the world really looks like? You know, their normal is not seeing certain colors or the colors are very muted. And then to put these glasses on, all of a sudden to have the full spectrum of colors that we see, and there's a lot more that we don't see, I believe that.
Right.
You know, it changes that normal. So, that's part of it. So that craving is I want to feel normal, but it's not normal. Drinking becomes a priority over other responsibilities such as employment, family, cleaning your house, paying your bills, all of that. Of course, withdrawal symptoms, sweating, anxiety, DTs. Feeling guilty about drinking, there's always a lot of shame involved with people who are using alcohol. And so one of the things that, like I said, it's a depressant. So one of the things that I can do to help not feel shame is drink.
Right.
But it causes more shame, so I drink more.
Yes.
Which causes more shame, so I drink more. Because the drinking helps, I don't feel the shame anymore because it's turned off that feeling in my brain.
Yeah, that's like what I said earlier. It's just like it's a vicious cycle. You just want, it's like, oh, I feel horrible that I'm an alcoholic. Let me drink. But then you feel crappy that you drink. And yeah.
Right.
Just,
exactly.
It's a big circle.
A lot of times alcoholics will have a drink in the morning.
Yes.
And that's because they've slept throughout the night. They wake up and they're shaking.
Yeah.
So that is an indication. And continuing to drink even when you have health problems. So the doctor may say, you know, you've got some issues, but they keep, you know, it's like people get a tracheotomy from smoking.
Yeah,
right.
They're still,
it's an addiction.
Right.
And the inability to stop. So, in other words, you have the first drink, and then, as they say in AA, you're off to the races.
Yeah.
So, when you have something that really has a lot of symptoms to it, and the symptoms are the same across the board for every person, it's a real indication also that it's a disease.
Right.
You know, if I have a cold and I tell you my symptoms and you get a cold and you tell me your symptoms, of course, the cold is not a disease. It's still...
It's identical almost.
Yeah, exactly. So that's an indication. Just one other statistic that I'd like to add. When we think of an alcoholic... When you think of an alcoholic, what does your classic alcoholic look like?
I would think of a man and probably in their 60s that's disheveled, scruffy, and I don't know why. That's always been
right.
The picture in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really only 3% of alcoholics end up basically scruffy, disheveled, homeless, drinking alcohol out of a paper bag.
Yeah, paper bag, yep.
Right. So that's only 3%.
Wow.
But that is our picture. So it keeps denial in place.
Right.
So I'm not that guy. I
you
have
don't
a
look
job.
Like that. Yep.
Right. You know, I'm maintaining a home. All right, I had a DUI. I drink every night. But it's not that bad.
Yeah.
So 97% of people who are active alcoholics are what we would call a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah.
That means they're fixing the brakes on your car, they're driving your kids to school, they're the doctor that you're going to, they might be your lawyer, they might be your counselor. I mean, there's, you know.
Right.
So that's a lot of people, and that denial keeps it in place because I'm not that bad yet.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah. So, you know, only 3% is those people that we think of lying in the gutter with that brown paper bag, you know, sitting, you know, the people that end up in that homeless situation, like we see it on TV sometimes with, you know, the addicts in Los Angeles and San Francisco, that really happens much quicker to heroin addicts. Like the downhill that is a lot faster. So people who use heroin and fentanyl end up in the gutter a lot faster, homeless a lot faster.
And why do you think that?
It's such a powerful drug.
Yeah.
So it can take 25 to 35 years for someone who drinks abusively to actually become an alcoholic.
Really?
Yeah. So, and some people it happens a lot quicker. And again, it happens quicker for women. Women's livers are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But on average, it takes 25 to 35 years.
Wow.
So when you think of a picture of a 60-year-old man being an alcoholic, well, he started drinking when he was 20.
Yeah, wow.
So that's part of that picture.
Right.
But you can become addicted to heroin laced with fentanyl
the
first time you use it. And the same thing with crack. Mm-hmm. First time you use it, you can get addicted. So, you know, it's going to be really quick that those people hit skid row, as we call it.
Yeah, and also for crack, like, doesn't the high only last like 10, 15 minutes at most? So you're constantly having to go out and buy more often. And so I can understand why they would be in the streets quicker.
So the drugs take you down a lot quicker than alcohol.
Yeah.
Either way, it's still the same disease. Absolutely. It's still the same disease. So I'm going to take another commercial break. And I'm Ruth Altamira Roll, your host, with Amber Poltrzyski.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, welcome back to Counselor's Chat, and I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. I have my master's in counseling, I'm nationally certified as a counselor, and I am a licensed professional counselor. If you are interested in finding out more about what I do, you can find me on the web at www.altarollcounselor.com. That's Altarol with two L's, counselor, O-R.com. You may hear my little jingle, and it has .net. That's old. I have a new website, new logo. Excited about it. Please go check my website out. I do have a small practice here in Flemington. I've been in private practice 19 years, so it's been a while, which is a good thing. I really enjoy what I do. I do work with people in recovery, from alcoholism and other drugs. I work with families of addicts. I work with adult children, work with people struggling with codependency and enabling issues. I also work with people struggling with depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, grief and loss recovery, anger management, and couples counseling, just to name some of the things that I do. But go on my website, www.alterolcounselor.com, and you'll see a lot more about what I do. You can also give me a call at 908-237-2899. That's 908-237-2899 to find out if you'd like to make an appointment. I don't keep a waiting list. Or if you have a comment that you'd like to make about the show or a suggestion for a topic, I would love to hear from you. And please follow me on Facebook on Counselor's Chat. You can go on Counselor's Chat and see other shows that I've done in the past and learn a little bit more about mental health and mental health counseling. So today I am with Amber Poltrzynski.
You added the N again, but that's okay.
Oh, I did. Okay. and she's my intern for her semester at Centenary College. And we're talking today about alcoholism because alcoholism is April is Alcoholism Awareness Month. So one of the things that we kind of talked about a little bit over the commercial break is, and I had said that, you know, one alcoholic affects 10 people, that growing up in an alcoholic family makes you an adult child of an alcoholic. And there are books and books written about how alcoholism affects your childhood. And, you know, I would say if you're interested to go get a book on adult children of alcoholics and see if you fit any of those categories. I grew up with my mom, and I would say my mom was not an active alcoholic, but as she got older and as I became an adult, she had clear signs of alcoholism. And I never recognized that I was an adult child of an alcoholic until I actually was in graduate school, and I took a course on, it was called Alcoholism, the Individual in Society, and for whatever reason, I chose doing adult children of alcoholics as a research topic, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me. So it began a huge journey for me, but there's also books on being a grandchild of an alcoholic. And one of the things that I say to a client is if I grow up in a house that is mood altered, because that's what happens with alcohol. So my parents or a parent is mood altered. It's like growing up in a house with a fun house mirrors.
That's right.
So then what happens is I'm an adult and I'm going to go set up my own housekeeping. And I go and I get a regular mirror set sort of what's normal. Like, well, that doesn't look right. I'm supposed to have a little head and big feet, you know, and that's because that's the the normal mirror is the funhouse mirror. So what do? I buy the funhouse mirrors and put those in my house because that's what's normal.
Okay.
Right? Oh, it doesn't mean that it's healthy. It means that for me, it's normal. And so I may even then teach my children, who are now the grandchildren, that's the kind of mirror that you get. And so it does affect, it does have a generational effect. Absolutely. Which is really interesting. And not only that, on a genetic, you know, the chances of my becoming an alcoholic or my nephew or, you know, somebody that goes up because of having addiction in my family. Mm. So, you know, alcoholism, you know, it's not I'm only hurting myself. I could be hurting a generation or two of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's I think it's I find it fascinating.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I would say it's one of the groups of people that I love working with the best.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say also probably because I never got my mom sober.
Okay, yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I can never get my mom sober, so I love working with alcoholics, especially women in early recovery and helping them get sober. So, you know, it's just a really interesting thing. I don't know if they taught you anything like any kind of self-assessments or tests that people could take. Did you talk about any of that?
I mean, I remember talking about, yeah, I think we went over some tests and then like going based off of like the DSM, like if you have like at least two or three or more of these symptoms, you would be in this category. And so stuff like that. But
right.
It was a couple of years ago I took the class, so yeah. A little fuzzy.
That's okay. So, and what is the DSM?
Oh, it's the...
I'm going to get graded.
Oh, God. The DS... Diagnostical... Oh, my God, no. Well, pretty much it's a manual that we...
That's good enough.
Yeah, I can't remember. I used to have it in my head what the actual letters stand for. But it's a book that counselors use to diagnose and help, like, assess what certain patients have. It has, like, all different mental disorders, including addictions and stuff like that. And it helps them gauge if a person has this disorder or that. And usually... it would say if a person has at least two or more of these symptoms, they have this disorder. So right. It's a really helpful book to
absolutely
help with diagnosing.
And licensed professional counselors can diagnose, just
yes,
like a psychiatrist can.
Yes.
So because we're licensed and we're educated, I have my DSM-5. It's the fifth series, actually more than that, because sometimes they have... There's the DSM-4R, so 4 was revised, and now we have DSM-5. So it's been around for a long time, and it's used by doctors and psychiatrists and social workers and licensed professional counselors and psychologists so that we all maintain the same, you know, coding and recognize the symptoms of the many and various mental health issues that go on. So it actually is time for us to end. If anyone is interested in finding out more about alcoholism, you can Google it. There is a lot of information. You can actually do some self-assessment if you're a little concerned about yourself. If you are sitting here listening and you say, I think I'm an alcoholic and I'd like to stop, do not stop on your own. Go to a hospital and get yourself medically detoxed. I really want to underscore that so that you don't put yourself in any kind of danger. Seek out treatment. It's not only AA. There's a lot of other recovering support groups. Rational Recovery is one of them where they're not quite as spiritual. But I tend to go with AA. I think it's the best one. And that just another little scary statistic. Only 10% of people who are active going into recovery, only 10% go to AA. Out of those 10%, only 10% stay sober. That means only 1% of the whole population of people who are alcoholic manage to stay sober going through AA, and AA is the best thing out there. That's scary.
That is very scary.
So it's a disease that we really have to take seriously, and, there's some commercials that like, oh, there's this, I know, I'm going over time, I'm sorry, this commercial that like women are drinking alcohol, oh, and you have this little thing, and those things make me crazy.
Yeah.
They make me crazy, promoting alcoholism. Anyway, I'm Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for Counselors Chat with Amber
Poltrzyski.
And we will be back next week, and hope you have a good and sober week.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselors Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura-Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselors Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselors Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Republican Congressman from Ohio, Jim Jordan, has a big question at a House Judiciary Committee hearing.
I would just ask the fundamental question, why are we here? Seems to me we're here because the Mueller report wasn't what the Democrats thought it was going to be. In fact, it was just the opposite.
Congressman Jordan speaking. Now, the committee did authorize Chairman Jerry Nadler to issue a subpoena for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's full report and any underlying evidence that Mueller collected. President Trump is continuing to threaten to shut down the U.S.-Mexico border in the wake of an incoming migrant caravan. Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas calls on the Democrats to do something about the border.
One after another caravan of people invading, it's the Democrats that have got to do something. They've got to let us help the president protect our border.
This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, a contractor to the Beef Checkoff. Did you know 42% of people use their smart devices in the kitchen?